This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News Editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
And this time we look at starting a business in Rhode Island. Our guest is Mr. Danny Warshe, a Brown University graduate and now Executive Director of the school's Jonathan M. Nelson Center for Entrepreneurship.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, Danny, your most recent venture is a company called G-Form, which, you know, is a foam or a protective material that essentially if you drop it, it hardens instantaneously. And you realized, well, geez, this could be used for computer covers, for iPhones. And actually, for one of its biggest things is, shin guards for soccer teams. Are you still involved in the company? Now you have a new startup, which is the Entrepreneurship Center.
Yeah, I was one of the founding members of G-Form and was really excited to help get that off the ground. I was the founding president. And I'd say we've grown really rapidly. And I think it grew by no accident really well here in Rhode Island, given the richness of the supply chain here.
Yeah, how many people does it employ now?
We grew to the point where I left the day-to-day responsibilities to about 160 people doing manufacturing here in Rhode Island, which was, I think, surprising to some. But as I always say, very proudly, this is a place where you can access all points of a distribution and supply chain within 20 minutes. So our supply of chemical and the place where we did the molding of the kinds of pads that you're envisioning with shin guards and other kinds of protective material was 20 minutes in another direction. We did our cut and sew. That wouldn't be possible if we were in a place like Texas or California or even the Research Triangle in North Carolina. We benefit from the sense of scale and access that a place like Rhode Island provides.
It's interesting. Brown has entrepreneurship as a little bit of a focus in the School of Engineering, but it's also, we've written stories about companies that have been started by undergraduates out of your class, and they come from across the disciplines. So what is it about Brown that is different?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a question we ask ourselves all the time. Entrepreneurship is in many ways knitted into the fabric of what Brown has represented for generations. It's inherent in the open curriculum so that it attracts students who are interested in controlling their own educational destiny, sampling things, taking risks. We're dealing with a student body, with a faculty that self-selects to come to Brown, with a staff that's really energized by that ethos. It's only very recently, as of the $25 million gift that Jonathan Nelson generously gave last year, that we're employing that in a formal center. And the center's mission is making entrepreneurship an essential part of the Brown experience.
Now, we've written at various times about, well, do you come up with, a great idea or a great app first, or you do define a need? And I can remember that your students saying, look, Danny always said, what's the need here? Is that sort of an accurate way to
Very
think of
much.
It?
Very much. And I'd say that's the hallmark. The way that I've always taught entrepreneurship and that we're espousing it and promoting it through our center is as a fundamental methodology for solving problems. It's three components, the first of which is so critical, the one that you just mentioned, is finding and validating an unmet need. And then it's about finding a value proposition that can address that need. And then it's about finding a sustainability model that can be replicable and scalable. And if you think about entrepreneurship in that way, you can see how it can apply, can resonate to lots of different disciplines. One example, which I love in particular, is the School of Public Health. We reached out to a dean who I think politely was willing to meet with us, but was very skeptical about what does entrepreneurship have anything to do with public health. And my colleague asked this dean, well, what are you working on? And he said, oh, I have a group of researchers in China who are developing an app designed to connect AIDS patients in China with Chinese healthcare resources. And my colleague looked at this dean and said, well, then you're an entrepreneur. And he somewhat surprisingly sat back and said, I am. I didn't even know I was.
And right at that intersection, then you have the possibility of a business.
Yes. And in fact, the key part that he recognized was that his research was falling down at the third step. They were reasonable about identifying an unmet need and validating it. They were even reasonable at developing a value proposition that could address that unmet need. But he was admittedly not good at engineering a method of applying what they were developing in a way that was repeatable and scalable, or could even be commercialized. And that's a bit of what we're helping him with. And we've launched a whole series of workshops now with the Brown School of Public Health called Solving the World's Healthcare Problems Through Entrepreneurship.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're speaking about entrepreneurship with Mr. Danny Warshe, director of the Brown University Jonathan M. Nelson Center for Entrepreneurship. My dad used to say, good idea, how do we pay for it? Let me ask about financing situations and the financing structures these days, getting better, stagnant, or what?
Well, first of all, that's why that third component that I mentioned of a sustainability model is so critical. It's not good enough if you've identified a problem. It's not even good enough if you have in your mind or even in your lab a method of solving that problem. It's essential to develop a sustainability model that enables what you're doing to be repeatable and scalable. In terms of the specific question you're asking, those methods are more diverse and more robust and richer than ever. I've seen that list evolve from angel funding and self-funding and bootstrapping and venture capital to now including all sorts of things like crowdfunding, which never was on the list. And in fact, in Rhode Island, more than ever, sources from the state, which I think very strategically is investing in early stage ventures and startups, some that migrate from a university's labs, others from elsewhere.
How do you feel about the potential for the gig economy? Digital links, apps, not necessarily brick and mortar.
Well, I mean, if you had asked me back in 2000, let alone 2017, I would have been, enthusiastic about that. I myself, as an entrepreneur, have been involved in those kinds of things. I also know that as a 52-year-old, I'm probably not as qualified to execute in some of those areas as some of my 22-year-olds. So I learn a lot from students at Brown who are involved in those kinds of things and developing ventures and seeing them succeed.
As we wrap up, Danny, any closing thoughts on the incoming Trump administration and its potential impact on the local entrepreneur climate?
No, I don't know what the Trump administration will hold for that, but I always think more close to home, which is that we have really good leadership at the state level who's got lots of experience in this kind of field of starting and growing, developing, supporting new ventures. And also that Rhode Island has really great mosaic of different kinds of communities that can spawn new ventures. There's a group that we at the center are working with called Practico Innovation, whose mission is to foster and develop entrepreneurial startups in what they call invisible communities, communities that are densely populated with immigrants and ethnicities that the average person might not think of as being a rich body of or a source of entrepreneurial interest. And that's actually not the case. There's a lot that are coming out of those kinds of communities. And we're really proud at the Center for Entrepreneurship at Brown to be partnering with them.
That's it for time this time around. I'd like to thank Mr. Danny Warshe, Executive Director of the Brown University Jonathan M. Nelson Center for Entrepreneurship.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line. I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.